one more time, join me in the book of Jude, and I'd like to read starting with verse 19 through the end of the letter here. It says, "But these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." And we're going to look this morning at verse 22 and 23. And it's going to probably take a couple of weeks to look at these two verses. But this morning, title this look at it and considering this together, simply compassion. And it, verse 22 says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference," that portion of it. And remembering from verses 4 through 19 in the book of Jude, it doesn't have much complimentary to say about some of the people that had joined with them unawares, that were contrary to what the Scripture had to say. It says, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying our Lord and Savior. And that's not just simply people that are unlearned or that. That is a category that is mentioned a couple of times in the Scripture, and generally it just says get rid of them. Just deal with it, and you can't have this amongst you. Unsaved, lost men, and just really not just lost, and not necessarily categories of lost, but just causing dissension and causing disruption, and just nothing good to say about that particular group of people that was amongst them. And it says here in verse 22, "And some have compassion, making a difference." And compassion, depending on who you look to for a definition of the word, sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or situations of others. And difference, that's a word that there's a lot of opinions on what it's saying, and some translate that verse as have compassion on some that are wavering or doubtful in their faith. Well, it didn't say that in that many words, but the word difference has to do with a separation of a distinguishing, discriminating, distinction, and one, and I need to find where I read that and write it down of whose definition of it was, that was of a different branch of the family tree, which is different than what we then comes to mind, but it's what it's saying here, at least in contrast to those up above in those verses in verse 22. There are those that in verse 23 that are unbelievers that are unlearned and just don't know what is what in that regard, or believers amongst us and ourselves that get sidetracked in one way or another, get into issues, and we'll see that there's ways to deal with that, but there's also the attitude of those where it says that some make a difference. There's an attitude difference there. They're not ones that are contrary to what the scriptures say they may not understand it. We know of several people that are being dealt with by others that are, I would have to say, probably unbelievers, but they're not contrary to the discussion of what the gospel has to say. They may not agree with it, but there's a teachableness there in the sense that they'll listen. And what God does with that word, only God knows, and we know that He's about the business of bringing His sheep in, and we don't know who those sheep are. We can't tell. We can be fooled by those that appear to be sheep or those that appear to be goats, and we can be really surprised, and we can't tell by looking or hearing always what the situation is with those. But the attitude of these, of the ones that are making a difference in compassion, the Gospels is what those people need. Of all people, God's people need the Gospel as much as the unbeliever, but that's the cure. It's not teaching something, it's the Gospel and what the Scripture has to say, and that we would have compassion on. And it's in verse 23, and we're going to look at this later, at another time, but it says, "Save out of fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." By the gospel of the Lord, that's the only way they can be pulled out of the fire, as it were, in the danger of that. This, and I wrote just a little bit that I have to read so I can kind of think some of it in order before we look to some scripture, but compassion shown and felt for those who wander or tempted, fallen, and those who are ignorant and out of the way is a good thing and should be so, especially to the household and for the household of faith. Brother Hawker says in his commentary, "We are propelled by grace to stretch forth a helping hand in any and every way to raise up the fallen. We know not who are the Lord's people, and the mercy and grace we have been shown will cause us to try and save as from the fire those in such extreme danger." And this particular verse, Brother Hawker is very concise, as he is in some places, and kind of says, well, it's pretty self-explanatory. He makes a little bit of a comment, but it's an attitude, it's a heart attitude that God's people will have towards the preaching and teaching and bringing forth the gospel to anyone, not just a particular group. But there's a softening here that the ones that in earlier verses are talked about, there's no accepting that and saying whatever you think is fine type of attitude toward those. Those are just, and it said they should be just taken care of and gotten, not be amongst the group. And I would like to look at several verses passages that speak to showing compassion and dealing with this, the others, that it says making a difference between different ones and having a discernment in some regards. In the book of Romans, and if you read in, I read in it's several commentaries, I look to see what other and what Bible scholars had to say about this, and they go to Romans a lot, and they go to Romans 9 a lot, where Paul is speaking about the Jewish people, and they said he would count himself accursed for their salvation, and in their situation, and they say that this should be kind of the attitude and the thought. But I'd like to look at chapter 10 and starting with the first verse and reading down a bit, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And this indeed applies to everyone. This does not have, the Jewish people had no corner on self-righteousness or legal righteousness, but this is a position that all of God's people have found themselves in at least in time past, that we go about, as it says here, to establish our own righteousness until He opens the eyes and gives a new birth, that we realize that there's only one source of righteousness that God's people can avail of, and that is the righteousness of our Lord and Savior. And verse 5, it says, "For Moses describeth righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live in them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven?" That is to bring Christ down from above. "Or who shall descend into the deep?" That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And that's the answer in a nutshell to those who are unbelievers, those who are believers, and those who are believers that may be in terrible time of testing or trial or whatever it is. The same word is that comfort and peace and rest to all. And where it speaks about those that call upon the name of the Lord that said shall be saved, it's not do this and you'll be saved. It, those that are, have that God has given the new birth to, that's when that takes place, not the other way around. It's not a how to do this and you get that. This is speaking to God's people primarily about where they stand and how they're there, and what those that have not heard and need to hear, how that comes about, and that God will either put His sheep in a place to hear the word, or God will bring the word to the sheep. One way or the other, they will hear that. And as it says here, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and God's Spirit using that word. And that's how it comes about. In Galatians, turn the book of Galatians with me, please, to chapter, just a minute, 6, I believe. Okay, this, it's not, and up above here, it speaks about our liberty that we have in Christ, and it speaks about our justification. It speaks about problems and other things that we find ourselves in or that we are come from. But I'd like to look at chapter 6, starting with verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." And here, a couple of things that are important, I think, in this, and bear on Jude, that it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And I think that bears on verses 22 and 23 in Jude there, that we have a compassion for those, and it says, getting them out, as it were, of the fire, and even hating the garment spotted by sin. And here, as it says, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted, or find yourself in the same issue. And it doesn't define what it means by in a fault, but it says, "You who are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness." I think is a key. What it's speaking about with compassion, what that Jude is saying, that with that sympathy and pity and concern for a person's situation, a true burden for that issue in that person. I think there's probably a lot of people that have been taken in a fault, whatever that might be, and been probably not approached in that manner. We had a message here a while back. I can't remember the text of it, but one of the thoughts of it was, and we're going to read a verse that's similar, but that the goodness and gentleness of God leads us to repentance and not correction in the way that we would think. Turn over with me to the book of Ephesians. And these places we're looking at, you do well to read about, starting at the beginning of the book to read up to the spot we're at, but for time we're not going to, but I think these passages bear on what we're looking at. In chapter 4, just a few verses, it speaks earlier in this chapter about speaking the truth in love, and whenever the gospel is preached or those things are dealt with, it should be done in true love and the compassion that Jude mentions. But here, let's look at verses 29 and following for a couple of. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." In verse 29, where it says, "That which proceedeth out of your mouth, which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And that should be the goal and the intent of whatever the word is preached or brought forth or taught or shared with others, even. Turn to 1 Peter, if you would. Turn to 1 Peter. And you have to remember, and and check and read yourself and see the context of some of these. Some of these, the words are good thoughts and true thoughts, but you have to understand or see who they're speaking to, and kind of what is the context of the thoughts. But I think, and I pray that we do no harm to as we're using some of these in these passages. In 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 8. And there's a lot of here in 1 Peter preceding this about our conduct in submission to those in authority and those that indeed do bring the word out. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And this speaks to the heart attitude of how it should be always, not just in a context of somebody that's in an error that we're going to straighten out, but always with when the word is preached and brought out and related to others, it should be done with that in mind, and not just a way to show either what we know or that they are wrong in a point. While we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, skip down also to verse 15 in the same chapter. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And here again, having to do with the attitude and the desires and the attitude that's in those that are bringing the word as much as those that are receiving it, and those that are brought the gospel, we don't know how they'll receive it, but we know how it should be given out. As he says here in 2 Timothy, turn to 2 Timothy a couple of places. Let me find 2 Timothy here. Second Timothy in the second chapter. All right, just a minute. Let me. This is all good stuff, but we're going to pick a spot here that I have in mind. Chapter 2, starting with verse 23. It says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And here we know what this is. It says in meekness, verse 25, instructing those that oppose themselves, if peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that's going to, all natural man is opposing themselves. They don't know it. They're not aware of it. And it's that, like the saying, they don't know what they don't know. And we can bring that word and as it is brought to us, and peradventure God will use that word in the unregenerate, and as He uses His word in us, in all of us, and that we receive it in the same manner as it is given here. And then in chapter 3, a couple of spots of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, starting with verse 14, and here another familiar place, but I think it applies to these thoughts here in Jude. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And here, I think that to keep in has to be in mind, it has to be so that those things that we have learned, it said, being assured of, knowing whom we have learned them from, and that the Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So I think any time a person is dealt with in conversation, whether there's a problem or whether it's or not, just any time that the Scripture comes is there, it is. That's the only source we can go to that we are assured of that we're on good ground. And it says, and knowing of how you've learned these things, that, and like he told Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. And it's not by book learning or just learning the text. And there are those that are now, and we've either been there or are there, that learn and read and know the words of them, but don't know what the Spirit has said and says about those things. That's a thing we always have in mind is that He shows us what these things mean, and that He reveals the truth of the matter to us. And especially, I think if we're going to deal with someone else, we have to know what we're talking about. And you can't give that which you don't have, whether it be a preacher of the word or God's people that are quote unquote witnessing to somebody. If you can't give that which you don't have, and that's the long and short of it. And can't give that which you don't have. And then in chapter 4, while we're here in 2 Timothy, I'd like to read the first few verses of chapter 4. It says, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And here, as it says here, watch thou in all things, verse 5, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And again, I think he only can give us that word in season, but it says that to be it says preach in verse 2 the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And this is it doesn't just say use this to correct someone, but exhort, build other people up, build each other up. And I think that's part of the love of the brethren, is that the word is used to build each other up, and to as it says, exhort. It's not something to beat people with, but it indeed is the true good news, and that's what we believe, that's what we stand for, and that's what we must bring forth. And I think, as talking about having a compassion for others that Jude talks about, I think that's missing an awful lot of times, is the word is used to straighten somebody out, but not from the right motives or right direction. In the book of James, in just a couple of thoughts here, and we're going to wrap these thoughts up for now. First chapter of James, starting with verse 17, James 1:17. It says, every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or creation. Whereof, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. In verse 22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And here, again, pointing to that compassion and those things that we need to guard, and we pray, God, give us those things. Give us here where it says, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Those are things that we always need. At least I do. And then in chapter 3, last part in James here, chapter 3, last couple of verses, 17 and 18, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And here, where it says that it should be received this way, it's often we think that other people should receive it that way, but we have to, if those things have to be part and parcel of the good news, or it's not the good news in and of itself. And then back to the book of Jude. And by now, everybody ought to know where we're headed in the book of Jude. verses 24-25. It says, "Now to him that's able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." And with that, as it says in the book of John, truth will set you free. Be free. Thank you.